your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the weekend edition of the KE Report. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments with Jesse Felder. In the next two segments, we are going to focus a bit more on actual investing in companies, more so exploration or smaller cap resource companies. Chad and I are chatting with Brian London. He is the editor of the Gold Newsletter, also our host down at the New Orleans Investment Conference. It is happening in kind of the mid to late part of October this year. Brian, as I mentioned on the intro here, we're going to talk a bit more on exploration companies because, quite frankly, for the precious metals investor right now, it's a tough market out there. The metals seem kind of stuck, and even more so, the stocks are continuing to lag. In no way are we seeing this whole rising tide lifting all stocks, and we're not actually even seeing gold breaking out to any significance that it's bringing in new investors. So if you want to invest in the sector, you have to focus on the companies that are doing the work that you like. Where are you focused right now, Brian? What do you like out there?
Yeah, I've been frustrated, Corey, as I know you have been, by gold and the performance in gold and silver recently. There's so many cross currents out there with treasury yields plummeting, the dollar index actually showing some strength in the midst of that. The stock market starting to roll over a bit as we speak right now. And then gold showing early session strength repeatedly and then getting sold off in the afternoons. It's hard to really place any confidence in an upward trend in gold and silver right now. The long-term view I remain extremely bullish on, but we're going through this kind of summer doldrums, a lot of cross currents in all of the markets. And you know, for that reason, I'm not really focusing on either the producers at any level or the optionality plays, but more so on the exploration plays. We have a lot of companies that are drilling right now, and with results coming out and some plays that we really like their prospects. And these are the kinds of things that can go up regardless of where the market for the metals goes. You know, they're immune, have shown some immunity, and a really good drill hole is going to send a junior share price soaring regardless of what we see happening in the broader markets.
Well, Brian, as far as exploration plays, there's a couple different philosophies on how to get positioned, so I'd be curious to get your thoughts. Some people like to wait until they see a discovery hole, and then they jump on a play. Other people like to get in when they've announced drilling and get in a little bit early, but you know, maybe after they've done the capital raise. Other people like to get in private placements and get in really early, just trusting the team. How do you like to get positioned in exploration plays? And you know, in an environment like this, what would you be looking for as far as the criteria in one of these drill plays?
Well, personally, I like to get in as early as possible. Now, there are exceptions to that. I believe we're the first newsletter or only newsletter to recommend Filo Mining, which is a really tremendous copper gold, copper silver play now. But when we recommended it, it was large and fairly well established, but hadn't hit that really big hit that we thought it could. And it went up about five times in a flash from our entry level after we had recommended it when they had that big hit just a couple of months ago. So that was one where we were in kind of late, and it still worked out very well, but we still saw the potential. You know, one of the things that I really like for these kinds of plays isn't so much the grassroots greenfields discovery play, but more along the lines of a rediscovery play. Companies that are valued as if they found nothing or have found nothing yet, but they're going back and finding historical projects where there has been really good drill results, but the market has completely forgotten about that. We found a few of those recently that I don't think, you know, really have achieved their potential yet. So we really like those.
Brian, one thing that is encouraging about this sector, and we've talked about it a few times, is that companies are cashed up, right? So there is a lot of money and a lot of money being spent in the markets. What do you look for when companies are announcing drill programs, when they are outlining what they're going to do with these cash piles that we haven't seen companies have in a decade that they have right now?
Yeah, they have to have the money. That's something we've always looked for. They have to have the money to put forth a really good drill program that's going to be able to prove something up and deliver a lot of assays and intercepts. You know, it's still a numbers game in exploration, and the more drill holes you can punch, the greater the likelihood that you're going to get a good result. So we do like for them to have that money to be able to get a sound, fairly comprehensive program enacted. And the good news lately is that most companies have been able to raise the money. So that box is largely ticked off for these exploration plays. Another thing you want to look for is the size of the prize. You want something that if they do hit, it's going to have that size potential that's going to really impress the market. And grade, of course. High grade is always good, but it's in vogue even more so lately that a number of companies have been able to impress the market with high grade, and the investing public kind of follows that trend and is looking for higher grade exploration projects or projects that can turn out some impressive grades.
Well, Brian, you mentioned that you really like looking at companies that are going to a past producing mine area or a brownfields operation or something where there were some known resources, maybe from a prior company, and they're reinterpreting it and they're re-drilling it and they're putting a new focus on it, a new team on it. Are there any companies that have caught your eye lately that you think are doing a good job in this regard and that are maybe not getting the value they should in the marketplace yet, but you think they're doing the right kind of work and have the right kind of team?
Yeah, there's a few that I really like right now. I like Heliostar Metals with their Unga project in southwestern Alaska. It's got a few hundred thousand ounces of really high-grade resource already. And by high-grade, I mean something along the lines of 10 grams per ton. But it's a project that has never been able to enjoy a well-funded exploration outfit that can do a comprehensive program. There's a number of targets and a number of previously successful drill operations on the project, but no company has been able to really go in and figure everything out. I think they have done that largely due to the talents and expertise of Charles Funk, the CEO, who is well known for being the VPX at Vizsla Resources. So he really has a hot hand, and I think this is the second in a string of their successes, or will be known as the second big success on his resume. They just really have gotten to understand the trends and are drilling off very high grade assays almost at will at this point, but the market has yet to appreciate it. A couple of other plays that we like that are drilling right now are Scorpio Gold. They're following up on some previous historic high grade hits on a project in Nevada. Drilling right now, results expected at any time. I like the potential for that company because the previous drill results were, again, very high grade, very impressive. I like Ophir Gold drilling on a project right now in Idaho where there was an historic resource. Again, not up to current standards, regulatory standards, but an historic resource of upwards of 500,000 ounces at very high grades and even a bulk sample taken that validated those grades. All historic, not up to current 43-101 standards, but they're drilling into that historic resource to validate it and prove it right now. So I expect results from that project very soon as well. In full disclosure, I own Ophir personally and Scorpio, but I do not yet own Heliostar.
Okay, thank you for that full disclosure. I know Shad owns Heliostar and Scorpio, and I own Heliostar Metals. Brent, why don't you own Heliostar? Can I ask that question?
I ask myself that question almost every day. Basically, procrastination and too busy to do something about it. And you're reminding me, I may actually go out and buy some as soon as we get off this phone call.
Okay, full disclosure there. We are recording this about halfway through the day on Thursday. So, Brian, all drill plays, right? And right now, hey, fair enough. If you're going to move an exploration stock, you need to have good drill results. And even in this current environment, though, we have seen some pretty good drill results not get that pop I know that the company or some shareholders would want. How are you playing some of these stocks, though, that have big drill programs underway, haven't released news yet, but sometimes stocks do run up before some of those drill results? I know the environment's a little bit different, but are you actively trading any of these stocks when it comes to getting ahead of any news or drill results being released?
I think that's a good strategy. It's not one that I typically employ because I'm really not that good of a trader, as evidenced by the fact that I still don't own Heliostar. But that is a good strategy. You know, it's oftentimes in the middle of the winter, early, you know, late December, early January, even February is a great time to buy some of these exploration plays that may have projects in the Golden Triangle, in Alaska, in the Yukon, et cetera, that won't get really much traction with the market until the summer. But they're at their annual lows around that time, forgotten at the market. And it is a good strategy to buy those companies, generally speaking, because by the time the drills get going, it oftentimes they're trading at double what they were in the middle of winter. And you can essentially take some money off the table and have close to a free ride in the stock for that drill program. This year's been weird, as you know, in that gold has been all over the place, hasn't been able to really establish a long enough uptrend and consistent enough uptrend to get the junior investors, junior mining investors, really excited and really bidding up prices. So, you know, there's still some companies that are drilling now that have not experienced that upswing in their share prices. So, you know, if you like the projects, it's still a good time to buy them.
Well, Brian, let me ask you a question. It may take me just a second to unpack it, but I'd love to get your thoughts on this. There seems to be like three different kinds of explorers in my mind, and that is the small companies that are doing maybe the 3,000 to 5,000 meter drill program, and they're just trying to prove that they've got something. Then there's the companies that are following up on previous drill programs. They're making progress, and maybe they have a medium-sized program, and then they have another project that they drill on a different seasonality basis in a different area. So maybe they've got two projects going. They're doing 10, 15, maybe 20,000 meters. And then there's these companies that are doing 60,000 meters, 80,000 meters, 100,000 meters, massive drill programs. They've raised a lot of money, though, and kind of diluted things down. So they've got a lot of work to do to backfill the value that they're doing. And I'm noticing that the small ones seem to get little pops and like get investors' interest when they're discoveries. But some of these companies that are doing 100,000 meters or 80,000 meters, they're not getting rewarded as much when they put out drill results every couple of weeks. But those are the kind of projects where when they put out a resource update, they tend to move the needle. How do you play these different types of drill plays, or these different types of exploration plays? And then what would your exit strategy be on some of those if they do hit or if they do prove their thesis?
Yeah, it's you're exactly right. And the latter, the third example you mentioned, when these companies can raise a bunch of money and do a really massive drill program, quite often they've diluted their stock so much that their market cap may rise considerably over the course of that program, et cetera. But investors don't win at all or don't win much at all because their share price remains, you know, runs essentially sideways, even though their market cap has risen so much. So you want to generally find the sweet spot, a company that has a tight share structure that can get an adequate drill program funded. You know, and there are exceptions at either end of that spectrum, but you do want a company that can balance a comprehensive program on one or two really good projects with a still tight share structure. Those are more difficult to find, of course, but they're out there. The other thing you want to avoid are companies that are just raising enough to get a minor program done, especially on a project that really demands a lot of money to try and prove up a resource or prove up a theme. I was talking to a company yesterday that is kind of mired in that they have a great land position in one of the great gold fields in the world, but they just don't have enough money to do more than nibble around at the edges. And I had to advise them that they really just need to get a major in there on a JV, and they don't quite see that yet. So it's, you want to avoid those kinds of plays. You want the company to be capable of proving something of significance to the market, essentially. And while there are exceptions in all those examples that you presented, you want to find a company that is in that sweet spot of share structure and financial capability.
You almost just want to see a simplicity to the story. Isn't that true, Brian? Sometimes these stories get so complex, and really, there's a few things that can drive these stocks higher, and companies sometimes get, I think, a little distracted away from that, and then all of a sudden, yeah, you see a share structure that just is not that attractive to a wider audience. But hey, a lot of good comments there, Brian. Thank you, as always, for your time. I hope some people like some of those stocks. Feel free to send us any questions for Brian or for any of the companies that he brought up. And hey, Brian, have a great rest of your weekend. Great having you back on the show. Thank you for your time.
Great talking to you guys. Appreciate it.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.